Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, welcome to this week's edition of Grecian's Gossip. Just me, David Borum, with Jamie Hawkins today. Daniel's off at a council meeting, I think, and Howard's still sunning himself, so just the two of us today. But plenty to talk about as always. We'll start with Forest Green on Saturday. A good win. I wasn't at that game, but Jamie was. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was a very good game. Really treacherous conditions, absolutely pouring down rain 1 minute and sunning yourself the next. So it was a strange, conditions to play in. It was a very good performance, perhaps not the best. With the conditions, it made it quite tricky with trying to play the way that City and Tisdale like to play. Mark Cooper at Forest Green's, trying to play a similar way, and he's pretty much come out and said, look, if we want to get results, it's not gonna happen easily in League Two, as we've seen many teams do when we've played them. But no, I thought it was a pretty solid performance, professional performance. Could have been more, to be honest. Remember, McLennan had a great chance to make it 4-0, but blazed it over. Overall, it was a great performance, great day, keeps the run going. The same team as well, for I think that was the third successive league game it was the same team, and just shows how well they play together. We've mentioned the back four many times and they were excellent. Sweeney was outstanding once again. Lloyd James in midfield absolutely dominated it, and they just seemed more up for it than Forest Green. Perhaps the luck went their way in terms of winning the second balls. But, the number of times that I saw, a Forest Green player on the ball and about three City players all over him straight away just shows the urgency and the tempo that Tisdale's clearly set out. But, it was a great great performance, keeps the run going, as I said, and, it's looking good at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, having been at Barnet last night, in what sounds like similar conditions, to be honest, aside from the fact we didn't get the chance to sun ourselves. It sounds quite similar, to be honest, because, last night, although Barnet went ahead, City, they weren't exactly struggling, but they couldn't get a proper hold of the ball in the first half. McLennan had a couple of efforts, but nothing too testing for Barnet. And it went in at 0-0, and, Portis, I said he was happy with that because, it was a difficult conditions and slight winds or slight slope and quite high winds, actually. And then Barnet took the lead just after half-time, but, Tisdale then brought Hiram Boateng on and that completely changed the game. Switched to 4-3-3, then 3-5-2 with the introduction of Stockley. And from then on in, it only looked like City were going to win. As soon as City equalised, with Ruben Reid doing what all strikers do well and sort of following up a shot after Jake Taylor's long range effort hit the post. From then on in, it was only City likely to win. It sounds similar, it's just that sort of desire to win at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and you mentioned the 3-5-2. That's what they started with on Saturday, with Jake Taylor playing left wing back and Sweeney at right, and then you had Lee Holmes on the right wing, who was outstanding on Saturday. It just shows, the versatility the squad have got. Not only the strength and depth in the squad, but players being able to play wherever. And Jake Taylor was pretty excellent, left wing back as well. Perhaps an unusual position for him. As a result, Woodman played a bit deeper and, did well. But, when you look at the bench, like you said on Tuesday night, when you've got like Stockley and Boateng and Moxie, pretty much been kept out the side at the moment. I know Moxie's only just come back from injury, but when you've got your record signing on the bench still, I think it shows something that the quality that City have and how loyal Tisdale is to the same starting 11, and you know, just the way that Reid and McAlinden link up. Tisdale spoke to him on Monday and he was, you know, I asked him about Reid's start to the season with the goal, and he said, look, as good as he's been, let's not forget McAlinden, who perhaps doesn't get the credit he deserves, you know, hasn't scored that many goals. He's had his chances, but absolutely runs his socks off, and maybe Reid wouldn't, you know, have 7 goals if it wasn't for Liam's hard work at the moment.
I mean, I looked at a stat at the start of the season. City were the only EFL club, probably in the top 92, to be honest. I don't know about Premier League because I started a week later, but only EFL club for definite not to have a debutant starting their first game of the season.
All right.
And you know, you've spoken about the strength and depth of the bench now has. But you know, they haven't really needed it at the moment because the players that City had last season are playing so well. But at the same time, it's great to have that sort of ability now to change things if they're not going the way City want them to, isn't it?
Yeah, and like people mentioned as well, losing David Wheeler, Ollie Watkins, 2 best players last season. You know, I think most people accepted, right, if Watkins goes, we have to keep hold of Wheeler if we want any chance of challenging this season. And then Wheeler goes. And, you know, on the other hand, you know, you bring in Stockley and you've got, you know, Ruben Reid on fire, and then you bring in the lone players as well. You know, it just shows how perhaps, you know, without Watkins and Wheeler can still produce this quality, still score goals, you know, despite how important. I don't know what the stat would be, you know, take out Wheeler and Watkins' goals last season, but I'm pretty sure City might not have done as well as they had done, might not have gotten to Wembley. But, you know, I think defence has certainly impressed me the most, probably, you know, especially at home, yet to concede at home in the league. You know, quite shaky at the back last season. I know they're hampered by injuries, but Tisdale didn't really seem to know what his strongest back four was. And then this season, you know, let's not forget Luke Crowell as well. Obviously, he's coming back soon. On his day, he's a really good player. So, you know, it just shows that despite that Wembley loss, no sign of a hangover whatsoever after a pretty solid pre-season as well.
And early days, but, you know, 3 points top now, and I think 6 points clear of automatic promotion.
Yeah, it's a long way to go, of course, but it's looking pretty good. You got to look at the teams who played as well. You know, they've been tough games. Newport and Lincoln at home, good size, you know. Both sides might be up there this season. Newport, you know, the turnaround that they've shown recently, and, you know, going to Barnet on a Tuesday night is not a tough place, an easy place to get results, sorry. And, you know, I think most fans, myself included, when you go into a Saturday and a Tuesday game, home and away, you're normally looking at 4 points for a good return. So to win both games, especially on Tuesday night, I think you know, maybe a few other fans have maybe a little bad feeling about it. You go 1-0 down, you think, right, we can get a point here and that would be a great, you know, keep the run going. But to win, you know, in the last minute as well, that's no better to win, is it, coming from behind. And it just shows the character in the squad. And, you know, and perhaps even better for me was when Tisdale is still keeping his feet firmly on the ground, not getting carried away, because, you know, you can't afford to do that at this stage. But, you know, there's a long way to go, of course, and there are some more tough games coming up with Crewe in Coventry, but, you know, it's a good time to be a City fan at the moment, definitely.
And yeah, you mentioned the calibre of teams there. I looked at it today, and you know, only 2 of the 5 of the 7 teams City have played so far are in the bottom 10, which shows how well they have been playing. And you know, if Cambridge were one place higher, I think it would be like 2 out of the bottom half of the table. So you know, they have played some good teams. So
yeah,
you know, it's nothing to be sniffed at the moment.
No, and then you just look at the whole league table, pretty ridiculous as usual with the unpredictability of it. You know, you've got teams. Carlisle are quite down there at the moment. They're struggling a bit, you know, from what a turnaround in a year it's been for them. They were absolutely running away with promotion at the start of last season, then they collapsed, and, you know, obviously we beat them in the playoffs. And then, you know, you look at the favourites. Mansfield haven't quite got going yet. Luton as well, you know, they lost, was it 3-0 at home to Swindon the other day? So it just shows how unpredictable it is again. But Exeter City are just carrying on where they left off last season, with teams, you know, Accrington are up there, I think. Another brilliant job that John Coleman's doing again. And then you've got teams like Port Vale, rock bottom at the moment, having come straight down from League One. You know, it shows how ridiculous the league is. Meanwhile, City are sitting nice at the top, unbeaten, the only team unbeaten in the league to do it. So yeah, like I said, I had a funny feeling about Barnet on Tuesday. It's the sort of game that in previous years probably was slipped up at, but you know, it's just looking very promising at the moment.
And you mentioned Paul Tisdale there keeping his feet on the ground. His mantra at the moment seems to be quite similar to what it was last season when they went on that brilliant run to get into the playoffs. It all seems to be, you know, one game at a time, or not so much one game at a time, but small targets, isn't it? And it's all about, you know, it's far too early in the season to be saying, right, we're top, let's stay top. It's all about just taking it that small thing at a time and then just working your way forward, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, all the years that he's been down here, I've never really heard him say, look, you know, we're top, or we're up there and we want to stay up there. I think at the start of the season, he and most of the players are saying, you know, we want to go one better than last season and get promoted. But, you know, since that pre-season talk, he hasn't really mentioned it. He's literally just said the classic, we take it one game at a time. Last week was last week, it was a great win, but we got to move on. It's going to be a tough game, and as he rightly said, there's no easy game in League 2 now. It's one of the hardest leagues to do well in, you know. It's why people are obviously getting carried away about the Invincibles, but in a way, it's kind of like, you'd probably say it's harder to go unbeaten in League 2 all season than it was in the Premier League in 2004, whenever it was. It's just unbelievable, you know, the standard as well. When you see like 10 teams being separated by about 2 points, which is why I think Tisdale's not getting carried away. You know, I think it's way too early to be saying, you know, oh, they're 3 points clear at the top or whatever. You know, I've always said you ought to be looking at October really before you start really, the table starts to take shape. But I think in this position now, it would be disappointing for City not to be, you know, at least in the top seven come the end of the season. Can't remember how many teams have really, apart from Carlisle last season, have been up there at this stage and, you know, not been up there come what may.
Speaking of Paul Tisdale, let's hear what he had to say after the game on Tuesday night.
Yeah, we showed a lot of nerve, didn't we, to build that last 35 minutes. I'm not sure when they scored exactly, it was 5 or 10 minutes into the second half. I loved us tonight, you know, and that first half, I wasn't unhappy. The players came in a little bit disappointed, but you're up a slight slope into a very gusty wind with rain in your face. We knew that last 20 minutes, if we got it right, it was a very hard end to defend. So, of course, a goal down. It might look like a negative decision, taking off a striker and bringing on the midfield player, but I just wanted to build momentum, make more passes and get us up the pitch and get some width, and then at that point then we put the striker on. So we just built it nicely over the last half an hour, and it was I suppose there was only one team that was going to score based on pressure, but of course they can always break away and score themselves. So, you know, it was a nervy but very enjoyable last 30 minutes. Awful for them to concede with 30 seconds to go, but I'm really pleased with the players.
And the changes you made, both really positive. Here in Boateng, really composed in central midfield when he came on, and Jadon Stockley scoring his first goal since arriving back from Aberdeen.
Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise to us that Heeran did what he did. I mean, that's why I put him on. It was the brief, just to make more passes and get us up the pitch. You know, which we manager makes a decision at the start of the game. We played into really, really tough conditions first. I was delighted at 0-0. They scored very early in that second half, and I just knew we had to get a hold of the game and make some passes. It wasn't about scoring straight away. It was about knowing that we could put pressure on, and we did that. And then, of course, Craig Woodman, he'd been feeling a bit of a stiff calf. It was an obvious decision, but rather than putting another full-back on, I put a striker on, and, you know, Jadon Stockley was a real handful for that last half an hour.
Also, you had chances even before you scored the goal. Sweeney hit the crossbar, and their goalkeeper had to make a couple of good saves as well, denying it.
Yeah, the goalkeeper made some really good saves, and as I said, I think it always felt like we could get another chance and another chance, and we had that set piece with a minute to go. Jake Taylor got to the ball first and won a free kick, and we just felt we had some sort of some strength in those set pieces, a win down into that goal, and I think we would score at some point.
And also a brief mention for Christy Pym, two absolutely fantastic saves from headers, denying the two Barnet centre halves.
Well, I'm glad you said it, because he was one of the first people we congratulated at the end of the game. You know, the first step in coming back from a deficit is to make sure you don't increase that deficit. You keep it at a goal, and we did that. And Christy did make some brilliant saves. So it was a team effort. Everyone did their bit, and got to move on to the next game now, knowing that come from behind now and away from home and got a win.
I know managers are not fixated at tables the way maybe us journalists are, but a decent start's becoming a good start.
Yeah, it is, and we've got to continue that. We're not going to win every game. Well, of course, that's the aim, but chances are we won't. But we've just got to put points on the board when they're there. We've got to put points on the board and we build momentum. We've got a good squad. And Dean Moxey coming on for his first appearance back with us in 8 years. We'd love to see him back on, albeit for only 30 seconds, but it's great to have him back on the pitch. We've got to build momentum, and we're not going to have it all our own way, but you know, as long as we don't do too much wrong, we've always got the ability to do it today, which is pick our game up and put a whole lot of pressure on an opponent for a period of time like we did for the second half.
So that was Paul Tisdale speaking about Tuesday night's win over Barnet. Next up for City, it's another interesting game against the Crewe side, who, you know, been a little inconsistent, but have picked up some good results, haven't they, this season?
Yeah, I saw they slipped up on Tuesday at Cambridge, I think it was, but other than that, I think they won. They beat someone 5-1 recently.
Chesterfield
absolutely destroyed them. Chesterfield, I know they're struggling, but they've just come down from League One. Gary Caldwell, of course. So it's going to be a tough game. You know, the cliche, I guess, every game is a tough game, but being at home with the record that we've got this season, you've got to be looking quite optimistic. You know, I remember last season when we played Crewe on that, started that incredible run, 12 games unbeaten at the time, and then absolutely tore them apart, beating 4-0. You know, I know David Artell had only really just taken over at the time, but, you know, he got them, kept them up, which I think is what they were looking for. And, you know, they've made quite a solid start this season. They might be up there come May. I saw Chris Porter, the striker they signed from Colchester, he's already got 6 goals this season, so he's going to be quite a threat, and perhaps the biggest test the City defence have had this season. But, you know, looking at home, pretty much Cambridge, Lincoln and Newport, they've all played relatively well. They've had their chances to get something, but the defence have held out so strong. You know, perhaps the other teams have been quite wasteful. But, you know, it's great to see that City have that ability to go 1-0 up and get an early goal in the first half and not necessarily, you know, shut up shop, but not really look like they're going to concede, whereas in previous years, the number of times when you've seen City go 1-0 up at half-time and then just completely collapse in the second half, literally being a one-half team. So it's one of those, it's a tricky one where it's a tough game, but at the same time, the way that they're playing, the form that they're in at the moment, you've got to be looking at 3 points. But, you know, I guess you've got to stop winning at some point, I guess, but let's hope it's not Saturday.
And so, you know, let's roll it forward to Saturday morning. Put yourself in Paul Tisdale's shoes after Hiram Boateng and Jaden Stockley both impressed on Tuesday night. Do you give him a start, maybe?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because he's named the same team 4 or 5 league games in a row now, and you'd be a brave man to break that up, really. But having said that, Jaden Stockley hasn't come on a record deal to be left on the bench. And, you know, he scored on Tuesday night. Okay, it was perhaps a tap in, but it's still a crucial goal, which could be a crucial result. It's a difficult one because, like I said, you don't want to break the team up, but at the same time, to be playing 4 games in a row with the same team might be looking a bit tired at the moment. You know, Ruben Reid, he started every game, but I know he hasn't. I don't know if he's finished a game this season. When he started, did he come off on Tuesday?
He can put that down to him finishing, because with the 1 minute left, they sent on Dean Moxey.
Oh, okay. Right.
1 minute away from finishing a game.
Yeah. So it's a difficult one, really, because obviously Stockley's come in and he's scored, and that should rightfully give him a place in the team. But, you know, with the way Reid and McAlinden are playing at the moment, I'd be quite hesitant, actually. And I don't know, I'd probably play the same team once again, given, you know, if they're all fully fit and fresh. I don't know how about you after seeing them on Tuesday night.
Oh, as you say, it's difficult, and you don't really want to disrupt that winning feeling, do you? And even on Tuesday, no player played badly enough to sort of be dropped from the team or anything like that. It really depends on whether Paul Tisdale wants to keep as it is. I'd be interested in seeing a partnership of Stockley and Reid up front, but McAlinden actually played quite well on Tuesday night, although he was replaced by Hiram Boateng. Paul Tisdale said that was just to give a bit more power in midfield rather than anything McAlinden had done wrong. And Boateng played very well on Tuesday night, but then Lloyd James has been outstanding so far this season, and Jordan Tilson has, you know, I think he's really stepped up his game in terms of consistency. You know, he had these games every three or four games where he'd have a brilliant game, then maybe go off the ball a little.
Yeah.
But this season he's been, you know, superb in breaking up opposition sort of attacks. So, you know, so then you're looking at, in that respect, you know, if you want Boateng in, you'd have to take out Jake Taylor or Lee Holmes, both of whom are, you know, superb players. So it's a real difficult one for Paul Tisdale, but it's a sort of headache he would like, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd rather be in that sort of position rather than struggling for, you know, for fit players and having to perhaps pick up players from the academy, whereas, you know, compared to last season, of course. So it's a great problem to have, I think, for him. You know, you look at the players that you've got on the bench, like we said, Moxey and Boateng and Stockley, and then you've got, you know, Troy Archibald-Henville, you know, who's a very good player on his day, and Jack Sparks, let's not forget about him, what a start he's made to the season. Hasn't really played much recently, but then we haven't really needed him. So, you know, you look at that bench, and previous years you look at the bench and it's normally made up of, you know, teenagers, academy players, and, you know, you're not really, doesn't really feel with confidence. There's no one that you could really look to come on and make a difference, whereas we've seen with Boateng, you know, he's come on and he's fresh pair of legs and he's been absolutely brilliant. He'll just run, you know, run and run his socks off. And then you've got Stockley coming on as well. So yeah, it's a really difficult one. But, you know, if Stockley was to come in, probably say McAlinden would be his replacement, not taking anything away from him, but it'd be really, really harsh to drop Ruben Reid, the form he's in, and Lee Holmes, who's been absolutely outstanding this season, such a key player. So it's a really tough one. But, you know, I would probably keep the same team, providing they're all fully fit.
And so what are your predictions for the game?
It's a tough one. I'd actually be tempted to go for a 1-0 again. I can't see many goals. You know, Crewe will be looking for a response after, I think, David Otter absolutely tore into this team after Tuesday night, saying that they were abysmal. But, you know, it does seem with Crewe, when they're good, they're really good. Like I said, they score five, and I think they've scored three or four in other games this season as well. So it sounds like when they're good, they're really good. When they're bad, they're really bad, which is what they were when they came down here last season. So it's going to be a difficult game. It'll be interesting to see how they approach the game, because I think normally when you come to Exeter, you might play a little more attacking, but maybe he'll be like, actually, they're top of the league. Maybe we should be a bit little more conservative. And it's quite an interesting psychological thing now. When teams go to the league leaders, how do they set up? Are they now going to be coming to Exeter and thinking a point would be absolutely brilliant result, let's shut up shop and just play for the draw? So it's an interesting one, but I'm going to go for a 1-0 again. How about you?
I was going to say 1-0, so I'll say 2-1 to City. Yeah, maybe Crewe will get a goal if they scored five the other week. Although it is interesting that whole sort of the discussion over mentality of going to the league leaders, because, you know, while City are top, it is only seven games of the season, isn't it? Yeah. And I had a City fan speaking to me the other day. He said he wasn't upset that City had gone top, obviously, but you know they're a little bit wary over the fact that teams will now be coming to City and sort of shutting up shop and stuff like that, thinking a point would be good against the league leaders. Whereas just 7 games in, you know, all you need to do is string 7 good performances in a row to go top. Whereas, you know, later on in the season, that could fly under the radar a bit, and you could be able to play your own game a little more, and teams might be a bit more expansive against you. So it's interesting debate to be had there about whether you can go top too early in a way.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, there's also the complacency warning thing. You know, fans are rightly so, you know, celebrating being top of the league. It doesn't happen very often. You know, I think did the story the other day, I think it's the best season, start to a season for 12 years or something like that. So, you know, the fans have got every right to be celebrating. The players, as we said in Tisdale, are rightly so not getting carried away, not looking at the table, as it is too early to call. So I guess it's how they deal with that complacency, because the number of times when you've seen a team up there and then they lose one game and then that's it, all of a sudden they just collapse and they'll lose, you know, 3 or 4 on the bounce and you won't see them up there again. So it's all about their mentality, I guess. I mean, Tizzle has been around long enough now to know that, you know, you can get carried away, especially in League Two, with results. As we've said, how tight it is. You can be mid-table come, you know, the end of 1 month and be the top 4 weeks later. You know, it's so unpredictable. And, you know, I was just thinking about teams shutting up shop. They actually do it quite a lot, more than often, actually. Perhaps I think they respect the way Tisdale plays. The number of times we've heard opposition managers admire Tisdale's style of football, especially in League Two in this day and age. You know, hence why we've seen many teams just play a long ball, get a goal, they'll shut up shop, and that'll be it for, you know, 90 minutes time wasting after half an hour. So it is interesting how, you know, I think many, myself, I don't really look at the table at the moment. You know, it's nice to be top, and then as like I was looking at the League One table the other day, I didn't realise Shrewsbury would have a similar record. They're top unbeaten so far. So, like I said, it's way too early, I think, to be determining who's going to be up there at the moment, you know, given how tight it is after 7 games.
And just so, and then we've had a couple of questions through on Twitter. First of all, 140BP90M. I think I've read that right. Where's our money? Hashtag Ampadu. Well, to be honest, it's difficult. I want to Julian Tagg, I think it was last week, issued a statement all about transfers and said that the club weren't exactly in a position to comment yet. So it sounds like negotiations are still ongoing. I'm sure a tribunal might not be too far away, because it sounds like they've been ongoing for a while. So I'm sure the club just at the moment can't really comment, because it's difficult to do so without putting those negotiations at risk. Do you think the same, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one, isn't it? We don't really know what goes on behind the scenes. I know Julian Tagg's come out and pretty much said it's all ongoing, negotiations are carrying on. It's interesting how it works, really, with young players obviously signing them on sort of a free contract, but getting some sort of compensation. But yeah, I mean, just hope that it gets sorted out. I mean, the club not really desperate for the money at the moment with Wheeler and Watkins. But yeah, it would be nice to just get it over with now. I'm sure, you know, the City board are just keen to get it over with, and perhaps they're being a bit more hasty than Chelsea are, you know, the nature of the club. But yeah, hopefully it will just be resolved soon and both parties can just move on now.
And then Lewis Andrews asks, update on Tizzy's contract and where shall we build a statue? No update as yet on Tizzy's contract. Those can always sort of rumble on a little, and he's never the keenest to talk about that sort of thing. So we probably may not get an update until he actually signs or something like that, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. And on his statue, Jamie, where do you fancy that being built?
Probably in Red Square somewhere. There's not really many places you can put it at the moment. depending on what the ground will look like in a couple of years, might not look very appealing outside, you know, the away end or where the stagecoach stand is. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest.
I think the cardboard cutout will suit perfectly for the time being until,
yeah, just keep it as that.
until we find a permanent solution. Well, that's everything from this episode of Grecian's Gossip. So join us next week for the next episode where we might have a few more people in.